You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal!
Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill League podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Pete Farries, to look ahead to the best that the Championship has to offer across the course of this pre-Christmas weekend. Al Ross, Gav Pushlovsky will be along to look at League 2 and 1 respectively. Don't know why I mentioned them in that order, but they'll be here very soon to offer their best bets in the lower leagues. But first things first, hello, Pete.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a little bit confused about the naps. However, Lewis is better at maths than I am, so I will accept that perhaps I'm not quite as far out into the black as I thought I was. But it's been a good couple of weeks. It's been a good couple of weeks. So
yeah, we've not mentioned the naps on here for, well, in terms of the running totals, for a few weeks. So we were just talking off air. In terms of the league podcast, Al Ross plus £30.09 to a £10 stake. Pete Farries minus £10.16. Gav Pushlovsky minus £33.97. But Pete and Gav do come here off the back of winners last week in the form of Aston Villa and Peterborough, respectively. You've mentioned it yourself, Pete. You've, after a poor start to the season by your own standards, you've picked up the pace, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm doing a Sheffield United, if you will, which brings us nicely into the game we're about to discuss.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was a terrible start to the season. Normally I start quite well, and then going into the middle part of the season I have a bit of a nightmare, and then I finish with a flourish. So I'm still hoping I get a good little flourishy finish. But yeah, it's been intriguing, and this Sheffield United game is to me just unbelievably priced. It really is.
We are going to focus on the Championship action, but we're going to start by looking at a game in League One. We're recording this on Wednesday, a day earlier than we normally do, but on Thursday evening, Coventry take on Sheffield United. Coventry are 19-5, the draw 13-5. Sheffield United are 8-11. You said it's unbelievably priced. Why so, Pete Farries?
Because Sheffield United are a fantastic price.
Okay.
For me, if I was a trader, and I'm not suggesting that that I should be, because I would run any kind of bookmaker into the ground through just terrible stuff, but 8-11 on Sheffield United, I'd be pricing them at 1-4 here. 1-3. I mean, certainly 8-11 to me looks incredibly attractive. You're talking about Coventry City side here, Alex, who've won once since the 22nd of October, and that was against lowly, struggling Chesterfield. They are not a side that should be carrying a penny of your cash. When they played good sides recently, they played Bolton at Bolton, lost 1-0. Played Scunthorpe at the Rico, lost 1-0. MK Dons don't count as a good team at the moment, but they lost to them. They were battered at Oxford. They were beaten comfortably at Southend. Whereas Sheffield United are just ticking over. They had a bizarre result against their Walsall, of course, at Bramall Lane. But they're unbelievable. Their form since sort of mid-August, when it started to turn, they lost at Millwall, didn't they, I think it was. And since then, they've been incredible. They've charged on. They beat Oxford United. They beat Gillingham. They went on this phenomenal 10-match run of, I think they won 7 of 10. They've won 3 of the last 5. They lost to Walsall, and they drew against Charlton. But Coventry aren't in the same wheelhouse as either Walsall or Charlton. And neither of those sides are actually particularly great. The 8-11 is just absolutely delicious to me. It really is. And the amount of value here you've got. Now, when they've played good teams, we've mentioned, of course, the Bolton game, the Scunthorpe game, they've lost by a goal. You can play that, of course, but I don't think that'll happen. I mean, Coventry plus one, Sheffield United minus one, which is the Sheffield United by a goal, 13-5. I'd much rather the minus one on Sheffield United. I think they'll break that trend. I think they will batter Coventry, possibly even obliterate them. I mean, minus two Sheffield United is 5-1, which is also well worth your time and your money, in my opinion. This game, Alex, looks incredible value to me.
Okay, Sheffield United certainly getting the nod for Pete then in that League One game on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, goal scorer wise, I mean, John Fleck, okay, not a lot of goals this season. I think he's only scored once this season, John Fleck, Alex, right? But who did he used to captain?
Coventry.
He did. Used to captain Coventry. Captain Coventry. there's a 1920 serial waiting to be written. 3-1 any time for John Fleck. He was unbelievable last week. He was brilliant. Him, Duffy was great as well. I mean, Mark Duffy's 11-5. Billy Sharp, 19-20. You can choose one or two great goal scorers from this list because there are a lot of them. But I'd have a little nibble on John Fleck at threes against his former club. You can almost see it written, can't you?
Quite possibly, yeah. It's funny, isn't it, how things like that pan out? But
yeah.
Yeah, certainly looks a game full of value anyway on Thursday evening. We'll focus on Friday's game now. Norwich against Huddersfield. So we're jumping back to the Championship. Norwich 19-20, the draw 13-5, and Huddersfield are 11-4. One side who would be expecting to be up there challenging for promotion, one that probably at the start of the season wasn't. But it speaks volumes that Huddersfield have had a bit of a blip, bounced back from it, and are still sitting in fourth spot as we record this on Wednesday. Speaks volumes for just how good they've been so far this season, on the whole. Norwich, on the other hand, complete capitulation from then, roughly at the same time as Huddersfield, to be fair. Their run through November in particular was awful. Still not out of the promotion push by any means, but they've got one heck of a task if they want to catch Brighton and Newcastle for the automatic spots, haven't they?
Yeah, gigantic now. It's been a really strange run of form. They were, however, deserved winners against Villa, which was heartbreaking for me, Alex. As you know, I was in William Hill doing some TV yesterday and complaining non-stop the whole way through that the only team letting down my acca was Villa. But to be honest, it never, ever looked like Villa were going to win that game. It just didn't. And Norwich had control and were the better of the two teams. Huddersfield's turn of form has been, as you say, good and absolutely vital as well. But look at the teams they've done it against. That's the other thing I'd say. Blackburn, well, we know about Blackburn Rovers, don't we, sitting just outside the relegation zone. Burton, sitting just outside the relegation zone. Of course, they were their last, their draw and their win. And then Bristol City, which is an okay result. I mean, Bristol City mid-table and a decent side, but they've not played anyone of Norwich's quality. Norwich have won three of the last five home games, but they've beaten Villa, who can't win away. They've beaten Brentford, battered Brentford, of course, and then they beat Rotherham, who are Rotherham. The thing here for me, though, the reason in the end I went with Huddersfield, though, at 11-4 was kind of twofold. Firstly, the price is still too big on Huddersfield. Yes, they've had a big blip, but Norwich, as much as they deserve their win against Villa, still don't look right. So the fact that I can get Huddersfield Town, who are still a good side, at, for example, 13-8 draw no bet, is a very, very nice thing indeed. But also, what is, Alex, and here's a quick quiz question, I know you're tired, but here's a big quiz question. What is Huddersfield's probably their best attribute, their best asset?
You said I know you're tired. I'm not tired of you, by the way. This was an off-air conversation that we had.
Yeah.
I didn't have a great night's sleep, that's the only thing. Huddersfield's greatest attribute. Is this a quiz question or a...
It's actually, it is quite subjective, to be fair.
I was going to say.
it is quite subjective. However... Okay, rephrase it. Alex, what do you think, I think, is Huddersfield's best attribute?
Pace?
Oh, Alex, fitness. Fitness.
Really?
When David Wagner went into Huddersfield, the first thing he did, and I've mentioned this on this podcast a lot, so it shows that you listen. David Wagner went in there and said, these guys aren't close to fit enough. They're not fit enough.
They're really fast, though. That's what he did say. I remember it.
Oh, right. Yeah. It was a really weird
conversation.
Look how
fast they are.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the speed, but it's just their fitness. And he's made them the fittest team, and they are one of the best at bouncing back from playing midweek football. Norwich, I'm not entirely convinced, are as fit as they should be. And for me, I think Huddersfield will use that advantage, that big advantage. When you play twice in a week, three times, I suppose, in 7 days in total, you need that fitness boost. You need that extra little bit, which I think Huddersfield have absolutely got over Norwich. So I would happily play Huddersfield here, draw no bet at 13-8. Now, Naki Wells has got a couple of late. He's 7-4 any time. Yes, I admit that one of those was basically a Christmas present wrapped up and tapped to him on the edge of the keeper's penalty area, which he just tapped home. But he's still in good form. Elias Kachunga is a great goal scorer in play, but he tends to, of course, score at home, doesn't he? So I'd usually rather look towards Wells away and Kachunga at home. But certainly, again, Norwich are a good side. Okay, they are a good side. They're going through a bit of a lull. They were good against Villa midweek, but I think the fitness for Huddersfield will tell, and I'd rather play the bigger price on Huddersfield.
Okay. Birmingham Brighton is next up. It's the Saturday tea time game coming up at 5:30 on Saturday. Birmingham 5-2, the draw 21-10, and Brighton in the betting at 6-5. Right, I'm going to level with you here, listeners. This is now 2 hours after we recorded the initial podcast, and we're going to have to redo this Birmingham Brighton piece. Hello, Pete, again.
Hello again.
Gary Rowett's just been sacked. This is breaking news right now. By the time this podcast goes out, it won't be. But I'm going to have to drop this in over the other preview that we've done. Why has Gary Rowett been sacked?
It's a very good question, because there isn't a sensible answer.
I will just say, this is literally, it happened 5 minutes ago as we're recording this.
So a reason may come to light.
Yeah, we genuinely have no idea why.
The club has today parted company with manager Gary Rowett. The board would like to thank Gary and his backroom staff for all their efforts and wish them the best for the future. He has conducted himself professionally on behalf of the club, and there is a genuine sadness at this course of action. Well, then why take it? The new owners remain determined to lead the club to a bright and exciting future. It's been taken. The decision has been taken with a strategic, long-term view, with all the club's best interests at heart. They might as well have just dropped the word, efficiencies and motivation and just nonsense in there. Very strange. It's actually bizarre.
There may be a genuine, legitimate reason.
There might be that
come out in the next few hours or days.
But from the phrasing of that statement, Alex, it doesn't sound like it's a performance related issue, does it? Now, it especially doesn't sound like it's a performance related issue when you consider where Birmingham City are in the league. They're seventh. They are, as things stand, as we record this right now for the second time, only outside of the playoffs on goal difference. So if you give a manager nothing to spend, and then when you're only outside of the Championship playoffs, which is a halcyon place to be, by goal difference, then if you're... it's weird. It's very strange. Now... again, full disclosure to the listeners, when we first recorded this 2 hours ago, I was all over Brighton. Mm. With a little hint of worry about the fact that Birmingham are the league's sixth best home team. I am now very much all over Brighton. Gary Rowett, whether it be at Birmingham, whether it be at Burton, is a very well-liked, he's a player's manager, if that makes sense. You know, he manages the players well, but he manages the people well. You know, the fact of the matter is he's a popular guy. His entire backroom staff have gone as well, don't forget. Which means that, I mean, it's bizarre.
It's just a bit of a strange one.
They've now got Thursday, Friday. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me personally if they've got someone lined up here, but, we don't know. But they've got Thursday, Friday, and then the team plays, don't they, Brighton? Brighton, 6-5, yes. no doubt, no question, all over that now.
As I say, we are recording this straight off the back of that news. Prices may change a little bit off the back of it. But Birmingham 5-2, draw 21-10, Brighton 6-5. In the other piece that we recorded, you said you were keen on Brighton. Let's just highlight that again, shall we? Because let's ignore Birmingham for a while. Brighton are, again, as we record this, the league leaders, prior to Newcastle facing Wigan this evening as we speak. Brighton, odds against, is massively tempting, isn't it?
It's hugely tempting. The league's second best away side, in great form. They obviously, the one thing against them is the amount of travelling. They've obviously had to go up to Blackburn, go back down to Brighton, then go up to Birmingham within the space of a week. So that will play a role in their performance, I'm sure. But, you know, the fact is that Brighton are a phenomenal side. They're second at the top of the league. They're the second best away side. By the time we, of course, get to this game, they might no longer be top of the league, of course, because Newcastle play as we record it this evening. But I'm just a little bit dumbfounded. And to be honest, that means the value is even more with Brighton. Because, like I say, Gary Rowett's a popular man with his players. Mm. It's not just him as well. I mean, if you read that statement, it's not just him who's gone. It's not like the manager's gone, but the backroom staff will carry it over. Gary's contract and those of his backroom staff, Kevin Summerfield, Mark Sale, Kevin Poole and Darren Robinson, have been terminated with immediate effect, according to the statement made by Birmingham City. So earlier on, I put Clayton Donaldson up. And if you fancy a goal scorer for Birmingham, 2-4, he would be the man at 2-1. But Glenn Murray's got 7 goals in 10 games. He's 29-20. He's been playing brilliantly on television, which I always think is a nice little indicator as to a good bet when the game is on telly. 29-20, Glenn Murray. 2 or more, Glenn Murray is 15-2. Earlier on, I toyed with the idea of, yeah, I think Birmingham might squeak it by a goal. But to be honest, minus a goal is 16-5. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with this. But the statement made by Birmingham City, to me, makes it look like they feel they want to push on with a quote-unquote bigger name, because that's never failed, has it? Quote-unquote bigger name, I think, because there is nothing in their form to suggest why he would have been relieved of his duties. Mm. The fact that his entire backroom staff have gone would also suggest that whoever may well wish to come in will bring in their own backroom staff as well.
Well, as I say, we're recording this just before 2 o'clock on Wednesday, and it may be that by 5 o'clock on Wednesday, by Thursday morning, by Friday morning, yeah, that something could have happened. But right now, on the face of it, looking ahead to Saturday's game, Brighton look more and more convincing, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely, 6-5 without a doubt. And I've got to say, I thought Birmingham were outsiders for a possible playoff place. We'll see what happens, but yeah, intriguing. 6-5 Brighton, though, a definite play for me, Alex.
Okay, so Brighton getting the nod there. I'll now hand back to past me to look ahead to the future game from that one. Sunday lunchtime, QPR, yeah, Villa. Back to me and Pete. Okay, QPR Villa is the final game we're going to focus on in detail. That's Sunday lunchtime, midday kickoff. QPR 5-2, the draw 21-10. Villa are 6-5. QPR come here off the back of three really, really poor results against sides that are also struggling in and around them. A 3-0 defeat at Ipswich, a 2-1 defeat at home to Wolves, and a 1-0 loss at bottom of the table, Rotherham, last time out. Each of those individual results in isolation, maybe you can get away with, but the three back-to-back must be pretty damaging for QPR, and they need to bounce back quickly. They come up against a Villa side, rejuvenated by Steve Bruce, not in fantastic form of late, it has to be said. The honeymoon period may well be over, but still, Villa on their day are still a good side and can trouble the top teams in the division, of which QPR, I think it's fair to say, Pete, are not one.
No, they're not. The issue I've got here is that last night I was pretty convinced that Villa would beat a completely lacking in confidence Norwich, and they barely showed up. This is a Villa side now with a real, real chip on their shoulder when it comes to away form. I mean, that's now unarguable, isn't it? It really is unarguable, because this is a side in Aston Villa, a club in Aston Villa. I mean, if you look at all competitions away from home, you're looking at that win against Reading, in sort of proper competition rather than just friendlies. That win against Reading, when was the last time? First away game of last season in the Premier League when they won at Bournemouth. Mm. So two away wins since August of last year. But QPR are so dank. I mean, I was convinced they would beat Rotherham. Absolutely convinced. And if I'm honest, they weren't really ever looking like they were going to get even a point from that game. Rotherham scored relatively early, didn't they? I think Izzy Brown scored in about the 23rd, 24th minute or something. I was on in-play radio. 23rd, 24th minute or something around that. And then I had to watch as actually Rotherham weren't hugely troubled in that game, which is a huge worry. Now, you're right about QPR's form. It has been poor. Three back-to-back losses. Two of those have been away from home. But then one at an inconsistent Ipswich, one at a frankly awful Rotherham, and then they lost at home to a dodgy Wolves. It's a very difficult game. It really isn't. And obviously QPR are playing as we record this evening as well, Alex. So they might have a boost. But as of right now, I can't play Villa at 6-5 here. That's the thing. That's what I sort of came... QPR are poor, and you don't know what you're going to get from them. But the point is that there is a possibility of goodness. Now, watching Villa last night, and looking at Villa's form, two wins since the end of the season before last, away from home, that is a record that, for me, does not carry my 6-5. I was burned with that last night, and I think I was probably a bit stupid on that back in Villa last night, even though they're a big price. So, you know, at that point, you're looking at QPR. At that point, for me, you're looking at Charon Cherry, because he's someone I always back. He's always a good price. He's a free-kick taker. He's a wonder goal scorer. He's 13-5. So Seb Poulter's 11-5. Connor Washington's been in good goal-scoring form, of course. The former Peterborough man, he's 14-5. And on the other side of things, you've, of course, got Kodjia, you know, 29-20, and a lot of good players. Grealish, of course, scored last weekend. He's 7-2 any time, but didn't really look in the game against Norwich. I can't be with Villa, and yet every inch of my being thinks QPR are a difficult team to back. So in the end, I'm going to plump down on a result that actually Villa get an awful lot, home and away, which is the draw at 21-10.
I think that's fair as well. It is. It's a tricky game, isn't it?
But, yeah, it is.
If it was at Villa Park, I'd be all over Villa like
yes.
a rash.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I might just stick with Codger any time. Normally does me fairly well. Although only 29-20 on this occasion, still not the biggest price. Certainly a tricky one to call on Sunday lunchtime. Right then, Mr. Farries, I'll leave it in your capable hands to rattle through your best bets in this Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Championship. Off the back of this, we'll hear from Gav Pushlowski on League One, and then Al Ross on League Two. That's it for me now on the League Podcast until Christmas. There will be one next week. I just won't be on it. So on behalf of myself, have a lovely Christmas, Pete, and the same to you, listeners. I'll be back, I think, between Christmas and New Year. There'll be podcasts all over the shop, I think, as well, over the festive period, because there's games all over the shop.
Yeah.
So just keep an eye on the William Hill website and the Audio Boom page, and we'll tweet out anything that we do as well. Pete, over to you for the Saturday 3 p.m.s.
Thank you, Alex, and a Merry Christmas to you, my friend. Although I will also see you individually before this. Anyway, bets.
Saturday, go.
So on to the Saturday afternoon football then. Let's start with Leeds, who take on Brentford at Elland Road. 11-10 Leeds, the draw 5-2. Brentford in the market at 13-5. Leeds got themselves a fantastic, and it was fantastic, win over Reading on Tuesday night. Yes, Reading had over 70% possession, but if you're going to have the ball, you've also got to do something with it. Leeds hit them twice. Chris Wood, of course, swept one home in the first half, and Dukara put one home from the penalty spot in the second. Brentford have improved a little bit after a very, very nasty run of games, of course. Don't forget, they had won just one game since, September, until the last couple of games where they've beaten Burton, and they've won, of course, midweek away at Bristol City. The point is, though, Bristol City had big chances to win that game, but couldn't. Leeds will take those chances. And while Brentford's away form of late has improved, it was, of course, for a long time terrible. It's improved at QPR, at Derby, pre-McLaren, and then they've lost at Blackburn and Norwich before Tuesday's victory at Bristol City. There is no doubt for me that odds against on a Leeds side high in momentum is 11-10. That is a really good bet, because it finally seems for Leeds that after years of just being in their gutter with their eyes closed, they are at least now looking at the stars. So yes, I'm afraid there's not going to be any kind of Chris Wood action. He, of course, has been scoring a lot of home goals, injured, of course, and taken off during that game midweek, but Antonsen's there at 13-8, Dukara 13-8 as well, Kamar Roof 2-1. There is quite a decent bit of value there, but I think Brentford are always gettable from set pieces, so maybe look at Liam Cooper at 14s, Pontus Janssen at 12s as well. Those players could provide real value, but Brentford have improved a little bit, but against no one as good or in as high momentum as Leeds United. So Leeds United at 11-10, the first bet for me. The second would be Sheffield Wednesday. Yes, they are short. 2-5, the draw 7-2, Rotherham in the market at 7-1. But do you want to back Rotherham? I don't want to back Rotherham. Their victory over QPR, of course, their only league win since August, and away from home, they have picked up a grand total of 1 point all season. Not only have they picked up just 1 point all season away from home, they haven't conceded less than 2 goals in any away game. So, 3-3-4-4-2-3-4-2-3-2-2. Sheffield Wednesday minus a goal is 10-11. Sheffield Wednesday on the outright is 2-5. This is a Wednesday side who, yes, have lost at home recently, twice in fact in the last five, but to Ipswich in the dying embers of the game, and to Brighton, for which I think we can probably let them off a bit, can't we? Other than that, Sheffield Wednesday are looking very, very decent indeed. Plenty of goals. Yes, they're going to be missing Fernando Forestieri, of course, but this is still a Sheffield Wednesday side who are just a country mile better than what is, of course, a bit of a local rival. Wednesday then, 2-5. The minus a goal also got to be a play with Stephen Fletcher. Even money anytime also as a possible shout. But always look at Adam Reach. Not a lot of goals to his name yet, but he's only now really settling into playing regular first-team football following his move from Middlesbrough. He is a young man who, in my opinion, if he's dealt in the right way, could be a future England player. 19-5 anytime for Adam Reach too. But you've finally got to look at one game. Blackburn-Reading. because the pricing here is quite attractive. Reading 13-8, Blackburn 17-10, the draw 9-4 at Elland Road. Reading, let's be fair, had a lot of the ball, but not a lot of quality recently against Leeds. They were also, of course, battered away at Fulham. In fact, their last two away games, they haven't scored and lost a combination of 7-0. And Blackburn have improved at home. Blackburn have lost, for example, midweek to Brighton, but it was not anywhere close to easy for Brighton at the weekend. On Tuesday. And yet, for example, Blackburn gave them a bit of a game. Wednesday have won there, Fulham have won there, and Norwich have won there. But this is a Blackburn Rovers side who, at least at Elland Road, are giving their fans a little bit of hope, despite their side only out of the relegation zone on goal difference. I'm going to go with Reading, though, at 13-8. If they mess up here, it'll be the last time for a while I back Reading, but I still think for their generalised form and league standing, 13-8 is just a bit too big. Now, Sam Gallagher got a brace, of course, on Tuesday. Looked very good recently. He's 6-4 any time for Blackburn. It is a game that I think is going to boast goals, so over 2.5 match goals at 21-20 would also be a real consideration. And yes, for Reading, there's a couple of guys in there. Roy Behrens, for example, got on the score sheet last weekend, 16-5 for him. But I'm, despite a little bit of dodgy Reading form, I'm going to stick to Reading possibly profitably or possibly for the last time away from home for quite some time. So it comes down to the nap of the week then. And it's been a good run, which has seen me almost drag my way back into the black after a terrible, terrible start to the season. And I'm chasing down Al Ross with a pitchfork and a bag full of bets. But to be honest, mainly a pitchfork. And there was a few. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday will beat Rotherham. But am I going to nap a 2-5? Leeds will almost definitely beat Brentford, 11-10. But Leeds have let me down at times on naps this season. But my nap of the week is going to be Brighton. I fancied Brighton this morning when Alex and I recorded the podcast first time around at 6-5. Since then, they've parted company with not just a manager, but the backroom staff, all of whom are popular. And it is not at the moment seeming like a very popular decision at all. So I'm going to stick to the league's second best away side, and my nap of the week is going to be Brighton at 6-5 away at what I think is going to be a bit of a chaotic Birmingham. Whatever you're backing, whatever you're having your nibble on, very best of luck.
Here are my three favourite bets for this weekend in League One, starting with my nap selection, which has to be Bolton at 4-5 to win at Chesterfield. Bolton have won 9 in 10 league games. Chesterfield have lost 6 in 7 at home. Bolton could go top, Chesterfield could go bottom, and Chesterfield have lost to 6 of the top 8, having not played the other two. Zach Clough has scored 3 in 3 away, so he's a play anytime. And Sammy Ombiombi is scoring some belting goals in the league and in the cup as well, so have a look at him to score anytime. Bolton's last 8 away games have all been unders, so Bolton to win an under 2.5 goals is very much a play and interesting at 16-5. But Chesterfield have just started to score a few goals at home, 4 goals in 2, so be aware of that. But I think Bolton are just too strong at 4-5. And they are my bet and my nap selection for this weekend. My next bet involves Southend, who just looked too big at 15-8 at the time of recording to win away at Oldham. Current form, Southend are in the top 3 with 14 points from 18 available and unbeaten in 4 games away. They travel to an Oldham side still struggling, joint bottom, with only 1 win at home all season. Ironically, that was against Scunthorpe, at present the best side in the division. Can you trust a side with only 1 victory at home all season at 6-4 against a side who can move into the top 6 with a win? 4 of Oldham's last 5 games at home have provided a total of 2 goals per game. So total match goals, 2, is very much a play at 23-10 with it landing 4 in 5 times at Oldham. Southend have not got the best away form from home. They've only won three games away all season, but they have scored 10 goals in those three victories, and they score early. In all three away victories so far this season, they have been leading after 15 minutes. So if you do fancy Southend to win at Oldham, it might be worth having a little play in them to be leading after 15 minutes at 6-1. But Southend are too big to win at Oldham, and I'm having them at evens for draw no bet. My last bet is Walsall at home to Bradford, who are losing ground on the top three and the pressure is starting to mount on the Bantams. Walsall look good and tempting at 23-10 at home. They've only lost three at home all season in the league, while Bradford have lost three in their last four on the road without a goal in any of those defeats. Walsall have scored first in five games at home so far this season and have won four of those five. So if you score first at home to Bradford, you stand a really good chance of winning the game. So the first goal here really is vital, and if Walsall get it, I think they go in and win the game. The last three games for Bradford have all been unders on the goals, so maybe Walsall to win a tight game 1-0 is a play. The draw is also a play between Walsall and Bradford. This is the kind of game that Bradford will drop points and lose touch further with the top three. So I'm going for another draw no bet, which is Walsall at 11-8. My three bets for this weekend are Bolton, my Knapp selection at 4-5 to win at Chesterfield, Southend draw no bet at evens to win at Oldham, and Walsall draw no bet 11-8 to beat Bradford at home. That is just under 8-1.
Week Wickham paid us out away at 6-4. They have now won seven in a row, and now they're at home. They're playing a team lower in the table than even the relegation threatened Notts County side they beat last week. They have 21 points from a possible 21, all gained in the last month. Orient have just 10 points from all the games they've played in the last 2 months. Wickham 7 wins in 7, 5 wins in 6 at home in the last 2 months. Orient have lost 12 in 16. They did beat Accrington Stanley last week, but Stanley played for 65 minutes with 10 men, and it was only 1-0. The only other points they've accrued even vaguely recently were against Hartlepool and Colchester. Well, going into those games, Accrington had picked up just 1 point from the previous 5 matches. Hartlepool were off a loss and just 1 win in 6. Colchester were on an 8-match winless run. They are 3 wins since the start of September for Orient. Can you trust them to do that among the 12 defeats they've had in that time to get anything away from home against the team whose form line reads win, 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 win? But Wickham should surely be big odds on. They're not. They're 23-20. And Scott Cashcutt to score is worth a look too if he's odds against. Odds not available at the time of recording, but with Akinfenwa out suspended after last week's red card, the money has to be on a man with 6 goals in his last 4 to net again. There is the small matter of the fact that Cashcutt also joined in the summer from Orient. And strictly speaking, Wickham are not the best team in the form table, that is Blackpool, but against the Luton side, who can be a real handful, particularly on the road, I'm going to swerve the outrights there. What I will say though, both teams to score 8-11, over 2.5 at evens, massive prices. Blackpool have 12 goals in their last 3 and 19 in the last 6 home League 2 matches, yet only 1 clean sheet in that time, and that against the poor Notts County side. Luton have 10 goals in their last 6 away. I would argue over 3.5 goals at 11-4 is a worthwhile starting point. And that is 2 mentions already of how badly Notts County have been doing. They do have, however, an FA Cup replay against Peterborough on Tuesday. The winner goes to Chelsea in round 3. It is the same reason I can't include the usually well-priced Newport or Plymouth in the ACCA this week, because the winner of their match on Tuesday goes to Anfield next. But for Notts County, who faced 2 winding up orders this year, a 3rd round tie against Chelsea is all of their dreams come true. The FA Cup's been a solace for sides whose league form reads five straight defeats, failing to score in four of those. And it's the sort of opening that Colchester will have dreamt of. This time last month, Colchester were out of the relegation zone on goal difference, having played a game more than second bottom Morecambe below them. 7 points from three league games since, they beat Cheltenham and Crewe by an aggregate of 7-0, followed up with a creditable goalless draw at Mansfield last time out, where they had more possession and more shots on target. They are heading up the league, so 19-20, not a huge price. Throw home advantage into the mix though, and it's more than worth a punt. And speaking of good runs, Doncaster's was ended away at Plymouth last week, but back among the home comforts. They look value again this week. The opening home game of the season, they surprisingly drew with Crawley. Other than that, second place Carlisle, and more recently, a Wickham side who, we've already mentioned, are on a real hot streak. The only teams to get anything at all from the Keep Moat. They have won every other home league game. They remain unbeaten at home in League Two all season, and they're hosting Grimsby, where Marcus Bignott's new manager bounce appears to be over, having lost the last two. But that bounce, added to Donny's defeat at former leaders Plymouth last week, has at least convinced the traders the home side should be almost even money, but they really shouldn't. 4-5 on them is more than fair. The treble this week then, Doncaster, Wickham and Colchester, pays you out 6.54-1. No doubting the nap though, it's the biggest price of the three. Wickham to beat Orient at 23-20.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.